I'm sure, like me, you've probably set many goals in business and in personal life and, unfortunately, not quite achieved them. Well, in her book, Succeed, How We Can Reach Our Goals, Dr. Heidi Grant Halvorsen tells us anyone can be more successful in reaching their goals. Based on the findings of several years of research into goal setting, she clears the mist and shows us paths we can take to finally reach those goals. It starts with self-control. Halvorsen asks us to think back to the achievements in our own life, the ones we're most proud of. In all cases, she claims, quite rightly, that we will have worked hard, persisted despite difficulty, and stayed focused when it would have been much easier to just relax and not bother. What we used was self-control, the ability to guide our actions in pursuit of our goal and to avoid temptation, distraction, and other demands. Halvorsen suggests that self-control is much like a muscle. We need to work it, train it, and not strain it. Self-control is learned and developed and made stronger or weaker over time. If you want more self-control, you can get more. And you get more self-control the same way you get bigger muscles. You've got to give it regular workouts. Why or what? Do we really know what our goals are and how to set them properly? Halvorsen suggests not. She suggests we are often not specific enough, and in the absence of a specific goal and in the wrong context, we are doomed to fail. Halvorsen suggests when actions are difficult to accomplish, we will find it's easier and much more helpful to think in simple, concrete what terms rather than lofty, more abstract why ones. What we want to achieve rather than why we want to achieve it. We should forget about the bigger picture and focus on the task at hand. However, when we think why rather than what, we are less vulnerable to temptation and more likely to take better self-control. So, since both the big picture why and the nitty-gritty what modes of thinking have their advantages and disadvantages, Halvorsen suggests the best strategy is to shift our thinking style to match the goal we want to achieve. She suggests for long-term, high-level goals, we should think why. And for short-term objectives, we need to be more concrete and think what. Why thinking leads us to pay more attention to what Halvorsen and her fellow psychologists call desirability information. In other words, how fun, pleasant, or rewarding will it be? More concrete what thinking leads us to place more weight on feasibility information, whether or not we can actually do whatever needs to be done. How likely are we to succeed? Halvorsen declares people who think achieving their goal will be hard plan more, put in more effort, take more action in the pursuit of their goals. On the other hand, she suggests people who think that reaching their goal will be easy aren't prepared for what lies ahead of them and can be devastated when their dreams don't actually come true. Consequently, she suggests the optimal strategy to use when setting a goal seems to be to think positively about how things will feel when you achieve your goal while thinking realistically about what it will take to get there. When we are thinking about taking on a new goal, we must also think about the obstacles that stand in our way. The wonderful thing about triggers. Halvorsen asks, what aspects of our environment can trigger the unconscious pursuit of a goal? In short, she tells us that just about anything can unconsciously affect our commitment to our goal. Words, images, sounds, anything related to the goal can act as a trigger. Maybe now those motivational posters you see everywhere seem a little less silly, right? Halvorsen discloses that studies have shown that the mere presence of something that can help you achieve your goal can trigger it. Walking past the gym can trigger the goal of wanting to work out in it. So how can we influence our unconscious? Halvorsen gives us the following tips. Align the cues to create your own lens. Know what is influencing you. Know what you believe about your abilities. And set up the right environment. Good or better? Halvorsen and her psychologist colleagues refer to the desire to show that we are smart or talented or capable as having a performance goal. When we pursue performance goals, our energy is directed at achieving a particular outcome, like getting an A on a test or reaching a sales target. We choose these goals because we're thinking that reaching them will give us a sense of validation, and then we judge ourselves according to whether or not we are successful. On the other hand, the desire to get better and to enhance our skills is a mastery goal. When people pursue mastery goals, they don't judge themselves as much by whether they achieve a particular outcome. Instead, they judge themselves in terms of the progress they're making. These goals are about self-improvement rather than self-validation, about becoming the best you can be rather than proving you are. So which is best? Halvorsen says that when we're focused on getting better rather than on being good, we benefit in two very important ways. First, when things get tough, we don't get discouraged. Second, when we start to have doubts about how well we're doing, we are more likely to stay motivated because we can still learn. So if we choose get better goals, we have greater success because we can enjoy the process of getting better. If we focus on growth instead of validation, we are less likely to get depressed because we won't see setbacks and failures as reflecting our own self-worth, and we're less likely to stay depressed because feeling bad makes us want to work harder and keep striving. Promotion or prevention? Halvorsen tells us another complementary pair of goal definitions. When we pursue a promotion goal, we are trying to gain something. When it's about gain, we're going to be motivated by both high value and high likelihood of success. In fact, the more valuable the goal, the more we care about our chances of success. But when we're pursuing a prevention goal, we are trying to avoid a loss. It's about being safe and avoiding danger. A high-value prevention goal is one where safety really matters and where failure is particularly dangerous. So the more valuable the goal, the more we see reaching it as a necessity. Halvorsen states to be optimistic is valuable, particularly in pursuit of achievements, promotion goals. Realism, on the other hand, is invaluable in pursuit of security or avoiding disastrous losses, prevention goals. Making goals our own. The greatest motivation and personal satisfaction we achieve are from those goals we choose for ourselves. Research has shown that when people feel they have choices and that they are an integral part of creating their own destiny, they are more motivated and more successful. Providing a feeling of choice and acknowledging people's inner experience shifts their sense of control back to them and makes them feel like they're in charge of their own actions. From her research, Halvorsen states that it isn't so much actual freedom of choice that matters, but the feeling of choice. Choice provides a sense of self-determination, even when choice is inconsequential or imagined. If a goal is internalized, we get increased motivation, better performance, enjoyment, and an increased desire to work. We also avoid the hassle of having to provide controls or incentives to bring about the behavior we are after. Bringing it all together. Here are a few strategies the author suggests we follow when we have established the lens of our goal. Halvorsen advises us when achieving our goal means doing something easy, straightforward, or familiar, we are probably better off focusing on a be-good performance goal. But what if they're not so easy? Halvorsen says we can benefit from changing our thinking from why to what. Literal, what do I need to do to reach this goal thinking is enormously helpful when we're pursuing challenging goals. What about the distraction of doing something else? Overcoming temptation is hard. It usually requires a lot of self-control. Halvorsen advises that this is another situation where it pays to think of our goals in terms of why rather than what. Giving our goal a prevention focus is also an excellent way to beef up our resistance. What if we need to get something done quickly? Halvorsen's answer is a simple one, although the task may not be. Give our goal a promotion focus. Which kinds of goals work best when we want to be inspired? Halvorsen suggests giving our goal a promotion focus can heighten our creative powers. So too can goals that are of our own making, goals that fulfill our basic need for autonomy. In general, goals that are autonomously chosen are much more interesting and enjoyable to pursue than those that are chosen for us. What if we want to have fun along the way? Halvorsen tells us to try to focus on getting better rather than on being good. Okay, so now we know how to identify and set our goals appropriately. But beware, it's still not smooth sailing. There are still barriers to overcome. Halvorsen suggests there are plenty of different mistakes we can make, but the one most frequently responsible for our troubles is that we miss opportunities to act in a timely manner. We are regularly given, whether we notice it or not, opportunities to act on our goals. But in most cases, when one arrives, we choose to do something else. Halvorsen makes it clear that there is no strategy more effective for fighting off these goal-blocking situations than making an if-then plan. Simply put, when you find yourself in a situation, if, then you carry out a goal-attaining action, then. For example, if I'm watching TV, then I'll sit up straight to help my posture. If it's Monday morning, I'll go to the gym before work to get fitter. If I've had a large lunch, I'll have a salad for dinner. So, it's back to self-control. Halvorsen suggests we use the acronym HALT to remind ourselves of circumstances where our self-control may drop. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. In each of these situations, self-control is threatened, so what do we do? Halvorsen tells us to resist. If we reach for the comfort food or activity, it's hard to get back on the wagon. Stopping before we start is an excellent strategy to keep our need for self-control to a minimum. Secondly, she tells us to focus on how well we've been doing and to consider just how much an effect on that progress falling off the wagon would be. Thirdly, she says, whatever we do, don't try to pursue two goals at once that both require a lot of self-control. In these situations, it's hard to decide which to do, and consequently, we are likely to do neither. Finally, here's her one last strategy for overcoming a total loss of willpower. We should reward ourselves for being good. After all, a reward celebrates success, and success is a goal we are after, isn't it? So there you have it. Everything you need to get started setting your goals and actually achieving them.